Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 441, the PAX Prime Lockdown, recorded live on September 11th, 2014. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And I'm your third special host, Haas.
And we are back after a week hiatus because PAX was 2 weeks ago, and I was at home kind of feeling under the weather. I was still kind of sick from PAX, and it was kind of funny because it wasn't necessarily the PAX plague or the nerd flu or however spin you want to take on that. Because I actually was getting sick before actually getting to Seattle, because I had a couple nights that I didn't get much sleep in order to prepare for PAX. So that was kind of unfortunate and dumb on my part. But nonetheless, we are back this week to kind of talk about what happened during PAX. The last podcast that we had, we recorded Thursday morning after the announcement of Lockdown, which is the Lockout remake. And there's been quite a few things that went on during PAX that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet on the show. So we're going to cover those tonight. And last week's bulletin was a lot about what happened during PAX as well. And we didn't have a bulletin this week. So we're mostly going to be talking about what happened during PAX and the bulletin recap of PAX that was posted last week. So with that said, Haas is on the podcast tonight. I believe this is your first time on the show. Is that right?
It is.
Yeah, so as we do for what is customary for all of our guests on the show, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got involved with Halo, and what you do in the community.
Well, how I got involved in Halo was we rented it from a Blockbuster Video, one of those relics, and me and my stepbrother played until 5 in the morning. We left off at the library, and you know, we woke up 2 hours later, if we even call that sleeping, and finished that campaign, and it has been a passion and love ever since that has begun. What I'm trying to do in the community is just keep those forums moving. I love the discussion going. The more people that talk on there, the funner it is. That's pretty much what I'm doing in the community right now.
Very cool. You actually have a little bit of a competitive background. Why don't you dive into that a little bit?
So at the end of Halo 1, me and my neighbor, not Mason Cobb, neighbor, but we really started getting into Halo to the point where we were having LANs from all around the community every single day. And we walked into a GameStop one day, and they handed us a little brochure for MLG Seattle for the last Halo 1 tournament that they had here. That was the first I ever heard about MLG, but quickly I got onto their website, got really engraved into that, and Halo 2 came out, and that was goal number one, is get a team, get going. I was only, unfortunately, able to participate in one MLG competition, and that was the last Seattle tourney they ever did. But MLG, game battles, I've been all over that up until more recently, as life, as we all know, as the older we get, the more responsibility outside of gaming that comes. But I'm all about the competitive play. Bring it. I love it. I love to play with you. Love to get to know you guys on there. If you like MLG style play, let's play.
Nice. So you were really pumped and excited for the PAX Prime Showdown, I bet, and the announcement of Lockout as a remake.
Oh, absolutely. I can't count the amount of hours that I spent dissecting that map, all the grenade points, you know, elbow to window to knock out that guy so we can push BR1. I mean, just all those little things, they just hit me like a sack of bricks. Just awesome, pumped emotions. Once I saw that get debuted, that made me even that much more jacked for PAX. And I had a feeling that was going to be announced at PAX. And the fact that it was just made that whole weekend that much better.
I think a lot of people had a feeling that Lockout was being announced because it was teased already from Frankie on NeoGAF a while ago. And it's one of two more maps that was going to be released. So there's still one more map they haven't talked about. But being a competitive person, how does Lockdown feel compared to its original Halo 2 counterpart?
You know, the feel I got, it felt very spot on. I know on some forums, I've noticed a lot of people commenting on your field of view and how that's changed. Hopping into that, I didn't feel that change. Honestly, I just, when you get your hands on it, it felt like I was playing Halo 2 again. The time to get from one side of the map to the other all felt the same. Where I needed to look to make those skill jumps, they all felt very, very familiar. I thought it was really spot on, and it was great that it was not a Blackout remake. It was a Lockout remaster, because I felt that they really stuck true to what made that map so special to so many people.
Yeah, I can say for my my opinion of it, I wasn't too big into the competitive scene. Well, I really wasn't around when Halo 2 first came out. So as far as kind of having a general feel for how Lockout was, it definitely felt like a lot of the control points were still there. And there are a few different things about the map, too. We have the addition of stalactites, or icebergs, as...
Phil can't pronounce that right.
Yeah. As it was Golden Boy and Maven that was saying icebergs during the stream the whole time?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're stalactites, and you can actually forge those into place. And there's three of them that are default locations on the top of BR, over the top of mid, and then snipe 2, where you can actually jump from mid to snipe tower. And then there's another little piece that's pretty cool. And the little middle window on top mid is actually breakable. So you can drop down from top mid to bottom mid. And it takes about 3 grenades to destroy the hard light plate. It's actually a hard light piece of glass, not actual glass. But you can destroy that, and then it regenerates after like 30 seconds or a minute or something like that. And the stalactites, I think, are like 2 minutes possibly. But those are some little map changes that they've made. Most of the skill jumps are still there. And there's actually a little new addition to Elbow, where you can actually get a little more cover when you're trying to approach the snipe tower. And it changes the gameplay just a little bit, but the overall flow of the map, you can still kind of trap people in certain corners, and there's still the fusion coils that you can shoot to get the sniper down on top mid, and everything feels pretty much the same. The shotgun's still there, the sword's still there, all the weapons are in the same place, and everything is nice and dandy.
Yeah, that Elbow addition was awesome. That came in handy a lot more than I thought it would. And then on top of that, you have the top mid glass breaking. That really changes the flow, but it's not a change in the flow that's disruptive to the gameplay. It comes handy, especially during those King of the Hill matches when you got that bottom mid hill point controlled and you can't get down there for some reason. Just dropping those nades in really helps out.
Yeah. It's going to be one of those things that it's the new changes to the map, but it doesn't really feel like it changes much of the flow of the map. And it adds a few different kind of skill elements to it. And there weren't many times when the stalactites were being shot down by a lot of the pros, but they did use them a couple times to clear out some certain areas. I saw it a lot more, actually, people playing in the booth. So for those that weren't at PAX, they actually had 3 different stations where you could play Halo, the Master Chief Collection on Halo 2 Anniversary. They had the Skull Candy booth, which actually was only up, I believe, on Friday for the qualifiers. And then you had the Astro booth, which actually played Halo 2 Anniversary all weekend long. And they did, I think, just Lockout on the first day for the qualifiers. And then for the rest of the convention, they actually did Sanctuary, Ascension, and Lockout. They rotated those maps in. And then I think they just did Lockout at the Xbox booth for the Halo stuff that was there. So there were actually 3 different people that you could... Or not people, 3 different stations that you can go and play Halo. And David, I went by Skullcandy on Sunday and Monday, and they were not playing Halo there. The booth was open all weekend, but they were not playing Halo all weekend, from what I saw.
I found Halo there on Monday. That's where I got most of my matches in.
So were they rotating games?
On one side, it looked like they had Plants vs. Zombies, and then on the side that had the Master Chief wall on the opposite side, that was Halo every time I walked by it.
Oh, I probably saw the different part of the Skullcandy booth. Okay, never mind. I'm wrong. So, yeah. So you can play all 3 booths all 3 days. I stand corrected. Shows you how much I was really over on the show floor.
Didn't see you there much.
No, I think I was there 2 hours on Friday and I wasn't even there Saturday or Sunday. Saturday, of course, was the Halo panel at the Benaroya Hall, which we got to see a wedding proposal, which was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Very cool.
That kind of made my day seeing that.
Yeah, there's the live stream
beat out his
up.
Original idea too.
Do what?
It totally beat out his original idea too.
What do you mean? What was his original idea?
He was gonna do it at the studio at 343.
Oh yeah.
And
oh,
I think the panel that was that totally beats it out.
And then he dropped the ring
with some choice words.
Yes. Well, yeah, we'll leave it at that. But it was really cool. I got to be up on stage and actually take some pictures, which are uploading tonight. So I got a few of those, and there's the stream that's on the Twitch archive on the Halo channel, I believe. And then Duquesne actually reposted the stream on his YouTube channel. We'll probably do that here in a couple of days as well. But it's really cool. There's a lot of good stuff that they talked about during the panel. We got to see stuff about Nightfall. We got to see stuff about the sounds that are coming to Halo 2, as well as the remaster soundtrack, which I will say that the sounds for Halo 2 Anniversary sound so much better. The weapon sounds are freaking awesome. But the music, I'm not exactly on board with kind of the decisions they made with the music. They're not bringing in Incubus.
Was that a licensing issue?
I don't know.
Breaking Benjamin and Incubus, but that I just was not feeling the rock replacement at all.
Didn't either. I know Breaking Benjamin really wasn't back together at that point. I know they had the recent announcement that they were coming back together, and I thought that was going to be something where they were going to be part of the soundtrack, but that, I guess, didn't turn out. I don't remember if they said it was something that was licensing or if it was just out of the realm of getting in touch with them and making that kind of done again, but the remaster soundtrack and the new music that's in the game is not going to have the Incubus or Breaking Benjamin stuff in it.
It will be in the original version if you're going through with like the original Halo 2 way of things, like the old soundtrack and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Breaking Benjamin and Incubus will be in there, which I'll probably just switch back just to listen to them again. I mean, no offense to the new guys, but Breaking Benjamin's kind of a huge band of mine that I love listening to, and replaying that and listening to the music again is going to be just that much better. So,
yeah. And actually, David in the chat, who was at PAX this year, he said there was a licensing issue. But as far as the kind of to expand on what you were talking about, BioWolf, the music as it's going to be done in Halo 2 Anniversary is going to be tied directly to the graphics engine that you're playing in. So there's not going to be the option to select which audio you're getting in the game. I think in Halo CE Anniversary, you could pick which soundtrack you were listening to. I don't exactly remember if you could do that or not, but if you're playing Halo 2 in the original graphics, you're going to get the original soundtrack, and if you're going to be playing in the new graphics, you're going to get the new soundtrack, and that change is also instantaneous with the game. So that's going to make it really interesting whenever you go from the Incubus or the Breaking Benjamin songs and flipping over to the new graphics. If you jump in the middle of there, how is that going to just, like, is that going to really mess you up? Because the music sounds completely different. And to be honest, I wasn't a big fan of the new rock music that they had in there. I don't know how it sounded to you, BioWolf, at home, but it, for a lot of us who were there, it didn't quite sound appropriate.
It didn't go with the way of Halo, in my opinion. Like, I think it was one of those moments where you struck gold the first time around, and I don't think I don't think they're gonna go, and I don't know. It's gonna be one of those things that some people are gonna love it, some people are gonna hate it, and I'm just not on board with the new way it sounds.
No.
So that's one thing we're just gonna deal with, because it's what they're gonna have to do with the new soundtrack. It sucks that they can't just reuse the music that they did, but what they're doing for the new soundtrack, I can see why they're not choosing to do that, because they're basically remastering the soundtrack to utilize the full surround sound capabilities of the recording, and they're doing it to Skywalker Studio, and the music is going to have a surround sound effect to it, and I believe for the original Halo 2, it's probably all done in just stereo.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that I wanted to go to is that they're redoing the gun sounds for the new soundtrack. I just want to say here first, the sniper sounds like it's back. It really does. It sounds
that
ridiculously
sniper sounds
good.
Sexy.
There's a couple things like the one I was telling you before. The plasma pistol it's good. It just sounds just a little bit different to me. I'm kind of used. I guess from playing Halo 4, I'm used to that way of things are sounding. Since I haven't played much of Halo 3. Well, actually, I have, but I haven't really absorbed the old way of things. So it's really cool to see. Like the rocket launcher sounds pretty good. The sniper sounds amazing. The battle rifle seems all right. I didn't really.
Yeah, it's nothing too fantastic, but it's all right.
And I was looking for the needle. I don't remember if they showed that. Did they?
No,
they didn't. It was the Magnum, the SMG, the plasma pistol, the energy sword, the rocket launcher, and the sniper rifle.
Now, the energy sword, so my standpoint of watching the stream compared to people that were there, they told me that there was no comparison. They said that you lunged that thing when it actually formed. They said it sounded ridiculous. Like, they said it sounded really, really good. On the stream side of it, it didn't sound that great. So I couldn't really tell you about the sword, but apparently that was a really big deal for people.
My heart stopped when that sword came out. If you ever watched the original Halo 2 multiplayer debut on Zanzibar, and I think it was Joe Staten whips out that sword, and it just that crack. When they did that in that multiplayer sound comparison, that excitement to use a sword just came roaring back.
Yeah.
I like the sounds that the SMGs had. It sounded a little more hardy to it. And one of the things that I noticed also in the sound comparison video, which is not exactly meant for this video, but the lighting effects of the guns actually reflect back onto your model and the gun models. So all the muzzle flashes actually do have a dynamic lighting element in the graphics engine. So I think that's something that Halo 2 really didn't have back in the day. So that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I think as far as the plasma pistol goes and the energy sword, it just, to me, they sound a lot more realistic. It's not necessarily like something that's awe-inspiring or massively changing. It just sounds a lot more how you expect the gun to actually sound if it were something that was real.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with you on that. It does sound more realistic. It's just I like the way it sounded in the original Halo. So I think that's the reason why I'm kind of iffy about it. I mean, I'm sure that like when I start listening to it, I'll like it more. But I think I'm just one of those people that like the old fashioned, like the new stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, some of the sounds I like better, like the sniper rifle, the energy sword, the rocket launcher, all those. There's those that I enjoy more than the old ones. It's just some of the new ones I don't really personally care for.
I think everyone has those kinds of weapons that they kind of stick to the old style and just really latch on to what it was before. And everyone's going to have those certain things that I like it when it was the original, how they originally did it. And remakes are always touchy for people.
Oh, yeah. And like we said before, like the music from Breaking Benjamin Incubus, I think people are going to want to stick to that more than the new stuff that they're bringing in now, which I kind of can relate to. But the cool thing is that they're bringing the old guitarist back, Steve
Vai.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. New Mjolnir mix. Yes.
There you go.
I got goosebumps from that and Never Forget from both of those that they played during the panel. I got goosebumps from both of those songs.
If you watch the stream, that's actually Dust screaming at the end of that. Just want to clarify that to everybody.
Oh, yeah. I had the first cheer after the Mjolnir mix was done.
I don't remember exactly where it was, but I remember seeing it, and I tweeted it out. Was in Penned. I heard in Penned in there somewhere. I don't know if it was like the before streaming part of it, but it sounded really good. Like, you could tell it was redone, and it sounded really, really good. Like, in Penned is probably one of those things. Like, it kind of transferred into transferred into 3, like where you're going into like the jungle, like where you like when you first drop down or whatever, and your arbiter, and then you have like your little marine guys running through. I think that kind of sounds like the same thing, but it's cool to see some of the music that we love come back.
You sure it just wasn't when they were showing off Halo 3?
No, it was Halo 2 because it was... It might have been.
Because they were showing part of the Halo 3 campaign during the panel. And you were talking about Halo 3.
No, I don't think it was during the panel. I think it was before.
Oh, so yeah, it could have been some music that they were playing. But I don't think they were playing any of the Halo 2 anniversary music.
No.
I think it was all original soundtrack. Because I do know they were playing Halo 1 and Halo 2 soundtrack music before the panel started.
That could have been it. It could have been. It sounded better with the headphones I was using. It could have been. So,
oh, David in the stream is saying it was the Nightfall behind the scenes.
Is that what it was? It could have been. I just remember hearing it. I don't know. Anyway, I'm just glad it's back.
Yay. Good music. As far as the rest of the music goes, we'll get, I think it's going to be a 2-disc soundtrack. I would imagine so, with it being the original volume being 2 discs. Is that what that said during the panel? Did I hear that right, Colin?
I believe so, and a vinyl.
Oh, yeah, the vinyl.
That's going to be going right next to my Halo Anniversary vinyl.
I got a Halo Anniversary vinyl in my Halo bookshelf, and I got the Halo 4 vinyl somewhere, too.
Oh, I wanted that.
I don't have any of them.
I think you can still
now
get them.
I just need a record player so I can actually listen to
them. I know, right? I don't have one of those. Anyways, that's the audio portion of the panel. They talked about Nightfall a little bit. They went into a little more detail of what they're going to talk about. And one of the things that they mentioned, or Frankie mentioned, in the behind the scenes, and they actually talked about during the panel a little bit, is that this piece of Halo that they're going to be on for Nightfall, it's rotating around a star, and it's rotating in such a way that whenever it faces the star, the surface of Halo gets so hot that the mechanisms that control the environment on Halo can't exactly account for the extreme heat. So you can't be on Halo. They can't be on Halo while they're trying to do this op. So they have 16 hours where they're doing this op, which I believe is going to be pretty much probably half of the series for Nightfall, going and finding this mysterious human killing element, so to speak, and they're going to have 16 hours to do this. So there's dangers on Halo, and of course everything there is scorched because it's been subject to extreme heat. So that's going to be an interesting environment piece that really plays into Nightfall a bit.
My interest is definitely peaked for Nightfall, especially after them kind of talking about where it is, how the environment is. I'm really excited for Nightfall. I really do hope it's 16 episodes now that they said it's a 16-hour operation. I'll even take 18 hours if they need to bookend it.
I don't think it's going to be like a 24.
That would be so great, though. Agent Locke is Jack Bauer.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, I'm feeding him ideas. I'm sorry.
But
don't.
Nightfall has definitely... Like you said, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, Forward Unto Dawn was something I was looking forward to, too. But I think this has my interest a little bit more, only because we're going back to something we've seen destroyed and something that we've seen before. And it's really interesting with this element or whatever it is, killing the humans is just another thing that's really, really, it's like really gripping my mind of like, what is it? Yeah, like it's really weird. Like, so... It's going to be really interesting to see where things are going to line up. And also, it's going to be really see what if we see anything from Nightfall and the Halo 5. So that's really going to be maybe something like a little story of something switch over to Halo 5 or come over to Halo 5 from Nightfall. So it's going to be really interesting to see. And I'm also liking the fact that they're bringing it in episodes. That way it has a little bit more longevity to it instead of just watching it at once and then you get that first thing. So.
Well, I'm wondering if they're going to do what they did with Forward Unto Dawn and release it on a weekly schedule, and then at the end, whenever everything is said and done, you could buy it on Blu-ray or actually have the full experience like you did with Forward Unto Dawn. I think that would be pretty cool.
Don't you think the episodes would be longer, though? I really hope it's not broken into 5 to 10 minute segments or, what, 15 on Forward Unto Dawn?
Yeah.
I kind of want, like, a full... TV show style treatment, not this web mini series. You know, here here's a scene and have fun with it.
It's supposed to be like a digital feature that's very similar to the style of what they did for Ford Under Dawn. So I think it's going to be short,
exacter
episodes that kind of play into something that can be watched over time. I think, I want to say Kiki said something along the lines where it's supposed to be kind of similar to Ford Under Dawn was.
I can see where you're coming from, Haas, but the amount of time that they put for shooting it, I don't think we're going to get anything longer maybe than 2 hours or an hour and 30 minutes.
No, I think that's going to be the Steven Spielberg show.
Yeah.
I'm going to get what I want.
Yeah, so it's going to be, that's where we're going to get the really in-depth story stuff. This is, Nightfall is more or less Locke's origin story.
Intro story.
Yeah. It's supposed to be his origin story to lead up to Halo 5. It's similar to what we had with Lasky and his origin story for Halo 4. This is supposed to be very similar in that regards.
I feel like we're going to get more, though, from Locke than we did. Because Lasky, I we got an origin story, but I feel like this is going to more directly affect the character that Locke is in Halo 5 compared to who Lasky was in Halo 4.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's going to be more of a character that we're going to see more of in Halo 5 than we did with Lasky. I mean, he's basically, that's him on the cover art or the cover or that picture that they released. You know, we didn't really see that with Lasky. So it's going to be, I think we're going to see more of an intense and more story driven deal with Nightfall than we did with Ford Under Dawn.
Yeah, definitely. And the mood is completely different than it was for Ford Under Dawn, where you have this academy and these cadets training, and you have Locke here in Nightfall. He's an ONI operative. He's being kind of dished out to the UNSC to go find what's on this derelict piece of Halo and what's going on there. It's going to really help kind of give a little more of an immediate perspective on who he is and what his character is really going to be like to set it up for Halo 5.
Yeah.
I think it's better this way too, because you are going to be playing as Locke in the game. So it's something that's a little more current day and gives you a feel of, okay, this is the character you're going to be playing and go from there.
Yeah. I mean, I like the fact that they are doing this too, that you're not just going to play as somebody that you have absolutely no idea who they are. You know, at least with this, you're going to see how he acts, what his initial focus is, and all these different things. So it's going to be, I like the fact that they're doing this with Nightfall. I like the fact that they're bringing back another origin story again. Like, I really like what they did with Ford Under Dawn with that, on how Lasky knew Chief, or, you know, how he was tied in with the Halo universe.
It's really nice seeing Halo on a screen as well, without you needing a controller in your hands. I know,
yeah,
obviously we all love the game, that's why we're here, but getting to see it in a whole new way, in a different perspective, I find that really exciting.
Well, I mean, it just goes to show you where this franchise is now. You know, I'm sure, around, like, when people were playing Halo 1, they weren't thinking about anything like this. Like, the franchise is branching off to a lot of different things, and it's getting bigger. And I like that. I do like that. I mean, more people are going to get more affiliated with Halo with different things. Like, I was telling you guys a couple of days ago that my friend or my cousin seen Ford Under Dawn, but has no idea about the game. Like, he doesn't know what Chief is or who Chief is. He doesn't know what a Halo is. He just knows what that little story was, and he liked it. He goes, he liked the fact that you had these cadets just training in this camp, and an alien race drops down and just starts destroying everything in their path. So it's
the only Halo-related thing my wife will partake in, which is good.
Yeah.
Hey, it's something, right? It just opens up the universe a little bit. I think the books are a pretty good way to kind of get that external fiction for some people without having to play the game, but it gets really in detail into the lore of Halo, which I think is why Ford Under Dawn has been kind of successful with people that aren't necessarily into Halo as much, but can actually get a good feel for it. And I'm wondering if Nightfall is going to have a similar effect. And I'm expecting it will.
Mm-hmm.
You just have a lot of people that get into the sci-fi stuff. And even if they don't play the game, I hope they have it set up to where you don't exactly need a deep understanding of Halo in order to get it. But even still, if you show it to a friend, you could just give them a 5-minute synopsis of what happened in Halo 1, because this is kind of a direct,
connection.
Yeah, I guess that's
like
kind
an
of
aftermath.
The right.
It's in between 2 and
no, it's
1 and 2, right?
No, the events take place between Halo 4 and Halo 5.
Oh, okay. All right, I got that backwards.
But you have this piece of Halo from Halo 1, so in a sense, you just kind of can go from Halo 1 straight into this and be like, okay, this is what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, you have that fragment of what the aftermath of Halo 1 was. You know, you have what Chief destroyed, what happened after that, which is pretty cool.
Right.
Another thing, actually, never mind. I'll think that a little bit later.
Okay. But Nightfall is going to be something that I'm really looking forward to. I'm probably going to be watching it the minute I get the Master Chief Collection, depending on how much time or how busy I am. It might just be something where it's good just to kind of watch on the side for the time being while I'm working on other stuff for Podtacular or whatever. We'll see how it comes out. But I'm looking forward to that. That kind of covers a big bulk of what they talked about during the panel and what was in the bulletin for last week. But as far as the rest of PAX goes, we did have the PAX Prime Showdown, which we got to see some pretty awesome competitive teams play for the first place prize. And
that was intense.
That was a lot of fun to watch.
That was crazy. I mean, I'm sure where you guys were watching that was a lot better than what I was seeing, but that one King of the Hill match between Excellence and I can't remember the other team they were going at, but that was crazy. That was
TCM, VMS, Triggers Down, USA.
It was one of them. Mm-hmm. I just remembered that it was that one King of the Hill match where the other team was getting close to him, beating him or whatever, so they wouldn't have to go back. It was crazy. Like I'm really excited that the competitive stuff is coming back in Halo.
It was really interesting to see how many times people got really down in the first few minutes of the games, but then came back and contested with teams that they were playing. I found that really fascinating.
It's really cool to see, though, that we've seen some community people getting recognition up there, too, this time around. You know, we know Ace, Strongside, Snipe Down, and Pistola, but a lot of community people are getting recognition out there, and Chalky was one of the people that 343 and Golden Boy and Bravo were actually focused on. You know, he was doing some work when it came down to that. And I was watching Twitter and everybody was talking Chalky. You know, we have Strong Side and Snipe Down and everybody else, but he was kind of in a spotlight.
Wasn't Chalky one of the European guys from TCM?
I believe so, yeah. I think Haas can.
Yeah, so he's one of the European pros.
Yeah,
but Team USA did have a few people that we had that I know of and that we know of in the community. Yeah. Naked Eli and Unishek, so they put up a tough fight, but they got seeded with Excellence, which was basically the God Squad of the entire thing.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, Excellence. I mean, they put up. USA put up a really good fight. It was really cool to see people that we know up on a live stream. You know. I was rooting Naked Eli and Unishek on. So it was really cool.
Did anyone ever find out what USA stood for, what they made that stand for? Because I was just making the joke the whole time that was the United Spartans of America or something.
I don't know. I thought it was just Team USA. So I didn't...
I mean, it might be.
I thought that's what it was. I didn't know if there was any meaning behind it.
Okay. Because most of the other teams, the acronyms stand for something, so I didn't know if they came up with some kind of acronym for a team name or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
As far as like the rest of the stuff goes, there was a lot of clutch moments, a lot of cool things from the live stream. If you guys have a chance to go check out the games that were played, and if you have the time to go watch all the live streams, I would highly recommend it. If you don't have that much time, I would suggest watching the finals, of course. The last 5 games had some really clutch moments in it. And Team Excellence, of course, took home the goal, which was kind of expected. I don't think many people were surprised about that, but it consisted of Pistola, Snipe Down, Strongside, and Ace. No questions there that they were going to win, I think. You have 3 national champion from MLG. And then you have the global champion of Halo 4 all on one team. So you're pretty much not going to beat them.
Yeah, it was good to see Pistola back in there too. I mean, we've seen him for the little bit of global championship, but it was good to see him on a team. And I'm glad that we've seen a team thing again, not just a like everybody versus everybody this time around.
Right. The one thing that I know Haas and I really didn't appreciate too much, and I know a lot of other people didn't as well, is they had everyone in a back room in the convention center, and there wasn't any kind of stage that you could go and actually watch. You had to watch it all via live stream, which really sucked.
And a very bad theater for that.
Yeah, so they had the stream in the Pegasus Theater. No, sorry, Paramount Theater, which is one of the rooms that they've used for a lot of panels before, a lot of the bigger panels. And this year they actually had it as the signing room because they're expanding so much for PAX, just trying to get more people there. And they had the stream on a projector, which wasn't really too big, but it was kind of okay to watch. But then they cut the stream at 6:30 when in the middle...
For League of Legends.
No, it wasn't League of Legends. It was some new game that... the Gauntlet, I think it was called, something. There was some new game that was kind of like premiering at PAX or something.
Oh, the remake Gauntlet from the old arcade. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm really confused. It got shut off for you guys? I watched it all the way through.
No, in the theater.
The projector they were using.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't just dedicated to Halo throughout the weekend. It was supposed to be going back and forth between different streams, and Halo was supposed to be one of the primary streams. And originally, the schedule was that the finals were going to take place between 4 and 6, but because they ran over, they changed the stream to this Gauntlet thing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of sucked. So I was there with a lot of the Ready Up Live guys were there. The Griffball folks were there. There was Goose, Cal, and Dr. Leo. Laird was there for a little bit. Colin and I were there. Def Hawk was there with his friend. And at 6:30, they cut off the stream and it's like, well, okay, we'll head back to the hotel. And there was actually supposed to be... did you end up going to Dick's, Colin?
Yes,
I'm assuming you took Laird there.
He said no, and I passed him driving, so whatever.
Okay. All right. Anyway, there was supposed to be a community event at this place called Dick's, and it's a kind of a drive-in hamburger joint, which is, sorry, the food there is not that good, but
it's cheap filling crap.
that's putting it lightly.
Mm-mm.
So I passed that up. I went back to my hotel room with Goose and Cal, and we ended up watching the rest of the stream while we recorded the Griffball Hubcast for the week. And the games were pretty good. We actually recorded up until the beginning of the last game in the series, and the whole series was just pretty fun to watch. It, I mean, hands down, I hadn't been that excited for Halo since watching, I think, the Global Championship back at PAX Prime last year.
Yeah, I think this has the Global Championships beat, though, because we're seeing old pros come back to an old game that where they're recognized that, you know what I mean? So I think this had a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for?
Gravitas?
Yeah, it's something. It had more. But yeah, no, this is, it's really good to see stuff come back. Like, Halo 2's back, and it has a lot of people talking. It really does.
It's good to see a lot of the competitive community really support the Halo 2 anniversary stuff. I don't know as far as MLG picking it up is going to go. A lot of people are saying that MLG is probably out of the business of doing Halo right now, which is kind of sad, but I'm hoping that Halo picks up a lot of tournaments. I hope 343 puts on a lot more. I don't think we're going to see as big of payouts as MLG if they keep on doing it, but I think just having the hype there might help generate some support and some sponsors, which would be really cool to just get some regular events going around again. I would love to see some kind of pro circuit make a comeback.
I think EGL, that's what was running the showdown, right? I think they're going to pick it up because they're coming stateside. They're not going to be just European side anymore. MLG, I think, is way out of the picture, like you were saying. And I mean, there's also, what, UMG? But I think EGL is going to be the big one that a lot of pros are going to roll into. And that's going to be the featured tournament for Halo.
ESL picking it up? I could see
ESL,
that.
Thank you.
I'm like, I don't think you got the acronym right, dude.
Yeah,
AGL?
I know there's AGL.
AGL, that was kind of...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like... Anyway.
Yes.
But as far as what's going down with the competitive scene of Halo, it is there kind of right now. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens when the game comes out. Because someone needs to step up to host those tournaments. I'm hoping that with the Twitch and ESL partnership that Halo can still sponsor some of these, but I really think it needs to happen outside of the convention events and have it to where you do have like pro circuit type stuff.
Yeah.
Because with as many events that they go to during the summer, it'd be hard to host events back to back like that. And I think teams need time to really kind of, recuperate a little bit. Having kind of a 2-month time span between events might be good just from a financial standpoint in order to get to places. Even if you did something like every quarter, I think that would be a lot better than doing something that's every 2 or 3 weeks during the summer season when you have conventions all over the place.
I mean,
they also need to pick which game they're going to use too, because I have a lot of friends that are kind of torn between Halo 2 and 3.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. I think it's going to go to Halo 2, but unfortunately there's those people that think fancy graphics means a great game and bad graphics mean a bad game.
Yeah.
So I'm
sorry, but we had a lot of fun on Halo 3 over this Tactical Tuesday.
We did. I love Halo 3. I feel like Halo 2 was the better competitive game between the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually got a tweet out from Ghost while we were doing the Tactical Tuesday, and people started talking about what controller scheme they were using and all that stuff. It was pretty funny. Yeah. But
bumper jumper.
you people in your bumper jumper.
Don't hate on bumper jumper.
I to be honest, I've never tried it, so I'm not hating on it. It's kind of interesting that all the pros use bumper jumper. I guess my play style is just, I can settle with using just default.
It's interesting, though, because I started using Bumper Jumper before I even knew pros used it. Like, just going into the game, I was going through, like, all the different... I didn't like the default controller scheme. I didn't like it at all. It was just... It felt weird. And then my friend goes, maybe you want to use Bumper Jumper. I'm like, how do I use it? It was confused at first. I had no idea. But the very first day I started playing Halo 3 is the day I started playing Bumper Jumper, and that's kind of where it took off from there, and I've used it ever since.
So is it just switch bumper with A?
And your melee button goes to your right bumper.
And I'm trying to think of the other thing. I'm thinking Halo 4.
B becomes reload, X is your equipment. Talking Halo 3 here.
Yeah.
A, gosh, I don't even remember what A does. Switch grenades?
Run?
No, there is no sprint in Halo 3. Come on.
But yeah, no, I think it's a switching grenades. I think A is.
Yeah, I think it's switching grenades.
Okay.
I guess we're going to have to play after this. Figure it out.
Oh, gosh. Anyways, but I know a lot of people that are torn between Halo 3 and Halo 2 as far as the game they're going to go to. I think a lot more people are going to go with Halo 2 because you still can play Halo 3 on Xbox Live. And Halo 2 making a comeback is going to be pretty awesome. But I know for me, I'll still be playing a little bit of Halo 2 Vista just to get on the PC side of things, because that is still on Games for Windows Live, which is technically Xbox Live.
Yeah.
And it's going to be pretty cool. Just having the new maps, too, is going to be pretty nice.
I wish it was more than 6.
I know.
I mean,
it felt so great playing that. It looked great. It played great. Now I want it on all the Halo 2 maps. I really do.
There's only so much time and effort they can have, though, to make this next game.
Yeah.
There was an idea that was floating around, which it was interesting, that bring the old map remakes as DLC, the Master Chief Collection. It was a decent idea, but like you said before, like with Halo 5 coming out, they're not going to have any time.
No, they're not. This is the map set we're going to get. We're going to get these six maps, and we're just going to have to stick with it.
Yeah. I mean, now going between Halo 2 and 3, I think I'm going to be siding with 2 only because I haven't really experienced it like
what?
A lot of you guys have. I didn't like the multiplayer side of it. I never really played because like I was always in what? Custom games.
Sorry, I just feel like doing that.
But I think I want to experience Halo 2 again, or not again, but I want to experience it better than what I did. I mean, I played maybe like 14, 15 matches online, and that was about it for Halo 2, but I think I'm going to be stuck on Halo 2, especially Halo 2 Anniversary when that comes out.
And I will say, it is exactly 2 months before the game comes out.
I know. Oh. I know. He needs to hurry up. It's not fast enough.
The outside world goes dark on November 11th.
I need that Dr. Halsey's note that was put out on Twitter a while ago.
I know which one you're talking about, too.
Was it gave you... It was for 3 days off for doctor's
note? I think it was... Was it 3 or was it 4? I think it was 3.
Yeah, I think it was 3.
I'll just mysteriously just like... I don't know. Like, I can't stand up. I have no feelings in my leg or anything. I'll find something to do.
Calling in sick. But it's yeah, good stuff there. Something else that was during the panel too that I forgot to mention was some of the Forge stuff that they talked about.
Yes.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time talking with a couple Forgers, and they're extremely excited to see some stuff brought back into Halo 2.
Having problems speaking?
Being brought back.
Yeah, I can't talk.
Being brought back. Blah, 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 blah. Anyways, as far as the stuff goes with Forge, we have we just got a slide of stuff that they talked about. Nothing too big, but some of the new things on here, they have the list up on the bulletin of the slide that they have. So bug fixes is magnet location consistency and the menu polish. The magnets in Halo 4, just with some of the stuff, some of the different pieces that you could use, the blocks worked, of course, the ramps worked and all that stuff, but you had some issues of actually getting pieces to stay level when you save. So I'm guessing that's probably something that they're talking about. And you also had other objects that didn't have magnets on them that would make sense to have magnets. And I think Max talked about adding new magnets to those kinds of objects, having more objects with magnetic properties that you can use to create maps and stuff like that. There's also some functionality that has made a comeback, and one of them is precision control and zoom. So if you remember in Halo 3, you could actually, or was it Reach? It's probably Reach.
It was Reach. You're thinking Reach.
Yeah, so you could zoom in when you're in monitor mode and holding an object, and you can move something very, very slowly. And you have that precision control now in Forge for Halo 2 Anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be awesome, because I know a lot of people are that kind of strayed away from Halo 4's Forge because of that reason. You know, they kind of said that it was a step backwards from Reach in a way. I mean, sure, you brought in magnets and you did lock to where you can't move the objects or whatever, which was really useful. But going from one thing and not introducing something that was introduced from the last one, it was kind of annoying. So I know a lot of people are going to come back because of this reason, just because of this precision forging.
Yep. There's some new stuff that they're adding to the forging list as well. Snap to ground is a pretty good one. I think that's going to be utilized a lot. Kind of alongside a line to ground.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We also have movement snap, which I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Like maybe a 30-degree twist or something? Or maybe 90-degree?
I don't know.
Well, we had the rotational, like the rotational angles that you could move something to. Maybe someone in the chat can help clarify that a little bit. But I'm not exactly sure what movement snap means. Anyways, tool settings stored between sessions, so you don't have to go in and change your little forge options whenever you go in and out of forge. That'll be nice. There's going to be some cleaner, smoother forge structure palettes. I think, didn't they talk about having multiple forge palettes in the game? Is that right?
Yeah, because they have the sky boxes that are going to be open to forge, and I that's the only one that's sticking out in my memory right now is the sky boxes, which I'm interested to see what they mean by that.
Yeah, the skybox only maps. I think that means a lot of this, the maps that you have for the Halo 2 anniversary stuff, they've expanded the skybox where you can actually go out and forge into some of those areas. Like for Halo 4, the confines of the actual skybox were so close you couldn't really do much outside the map. So I think they're taking community feedback with that and opening up the skybox to where you can actually go out side the normal confines of the maps. For like Sanctuary, you can actually go out beyond just that little inner play area and go into the lovely vistas that are back there. Same thing for like Ascension. So cool. I think Ascension's a big one that they're really focusing on for this, where you can actually go like maybe above or below the Ascension structure and actually have just kind of a setting skybox there.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're going for.
I mean, we kind of seen a little bit more with it with Forge Island in Halo 4. You could do a little bit more than that, what you did with the regular maps that it came with. But I think Ascension is going to be one that a lot of people are going to be using. And another one is Coagulation.
Yeah, when we haven't seen much of that map yet.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Over the ocean at Zanzibar? That'd be so cool.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying Team Bubble Bath too.
Yes.
Bubble Bath? I don't know.
Oh, Team Bubble Bath. It's the classic Podtacular game type.
Oh. Beware of sharks.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you don't know Team Bubble Bath?
No.
I did not play that.
We'll have to play it next time we're on Halo 3. Or Halo 2 Vista.
Godzilla?
That. Setting up the next game night. Here we go.
A lot of people are saying that we're going to see something big, though, with Coagulation for Forge. That's the reason why they kind of haven't shown anything on it. I don't know if that's something that is, like, if that's going to be, I'm trying to think of the word. But a lot of people are really interested to see what's going to happen with Coagulation, because it is a big map. Like, it's pretty decent size.
It's an icon, too, so you got to be careful.
True.
I think the rumor has been that that's going to be the big forging map.
Yeah, like another four. People are saying Forge World. I don't think it's going to be that big. Like, I don't think it is, but I think it's going to be bigger than what we've seen, like, in Halo 4. I think it's going to be something than that.
We'll have to see, because it's really hard to judge based off concept art. And without having a lot more information about Coagulation, it's kind of hard to say.
It's also annoying. I really want to see it.
Well, yeah, we all want to see it.
I really thought they might like do a fly through at the panel, but yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
No.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that they only showed concept art when they showed gameplay for every other map that they've announced so far.
Might be a development cycle thing, cuz I know when Dust was talking to Max, he said they're nose to the desk for the next 2 months.
Right.
Yeah, so we still have a lot to see for the map that we haven't been announced yet. In Zanzibar, we've only seen screenshots. We haven't seen actual gameplay on Zanzibar yet either. So as far as that goes, we still have a lot to see for the multiplayer. We've really only gotten an in-depth look at three of the maps that are going on with the Halo 2 Anniversary with the Master Chief Collection. So, and I think there's GameStop Expo this weekend or next week, something like that. So I don't know if we're
gonna get going on right now.
Yeah, so I don't know if we're gonna get something out of that. And then there's supposed to be another.
There's Tokyo Game Show coming up.
Yeah, that's at TGS. I'm sure they're gonna be talking about something there. When is TGS?
Isn't it next week?
Is it next week?
Is it?
Wow.
I know, it's really close.
Well, I mean, they don't have too many cons until Master Chief Collection's release, so they're gonna have to show something. One of them, I would think, more towards GameStop because it is closer than. Well, where is Tokyo Game Show exactly? I know it's
Tokyo.
Well, I know it's Tokyo, but like,
it's September 18th through the 21st, so it's
next
right
weekend.
Around the corner. Next week.
Okay,
a week from today, actually. So maybe we'll see something there.
Hopefully,
maybe.
Now the big question is, what's the map?
Waterworks.
Waterworks, or
a lot of people have been talking about Waterworks.
Yeah, I've been saying it from the beginning. I wanted Lockout to be Waterworks. We have
Waterworks or Terminal.
That's the other one. Terminal.
I would so want Terminal.
A train
60 frames per second. Can you imagine?
The thing is, I wonder what the dynamic element's going to be if they do Terminal. Like what it would be.
Blow up the train.
Like derail it or something.
And it goes crashing into the base at the end of the railroad. Oh, that'd be so cool.
That'd be pretty cool. I mean, that would alter a lot of things, but it'd be
Yeah, neat. That might be pushing some political envelopes, though.
I don't know. Maybe the train track just breaks or something. I don't know.
Uh-oh, Oreo in the chat says Headlong. He wants to see Headlong as the final map. Which is also another Halo staple.
They just did that for Reach, though. My whole thing is, if they just did it for Halo CE Anniversary, I really don't think they're going to do it again for Halo 2. And it's a great map. It really is. It's one of my favorite one bomb, one flag maps. But I can't see it getting done again.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be safe to say, though, it's going to be a bigger map. For the last one, because we haven't seen too many big team maps.
Just one.
Well, and a few people are also saying, because of what they showed during the Halo channel thing at Gamescom, when they were going back and forth between Lockout and Beaver Creek, that is going to be a Beaver Creek remake. But we also saw that remade for Halo CE Anniversary. So going off of Colin's logic, it wouldn't be that one either.
But that's another thing. Beaver Creek's another small map. Like, it's not that big. Like, I don't know.
You also got to think, how are these maps going to fit into their playlist as well? Because you can kind of get away with it on Blood Gulch. You can get away with it on Zanzibar. But I don't know if 4v4 won't work on Waterworks. You might be able to get away with it on Terminal, but if you... the kind of leak playlist that came out a month or two ago, there was like the anniversary playlist. There was no anniversary big team anniversary to standard 4v4.
Coagulation's so, not a small team map though.
No, but you can get away with team snipers on there or
not really. That's a freaking long game.
You never played Valhalla team snipers 4v4?
That's Valhalla, dude. That's not Coagulation.
I in Halo 2 I got that map a lot on 4v4, just normal team slayer.
Really?
You get the snipers, or sometimes you get the, at the beginning there was CTF, where you would do the dummy glitch with the elite and the warhog. Yes.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but, to be honest.
Oh, really? You gotta look that up. That was, my friend got banned for that.
Oh gosh.
I'm staying away from that.
Well, you can't do it anymore. They patched that out.
Okay. So a couple other Halo Collector posted in here. Snap to movement is where you can make objects move like a platform going across a space. So that's interesting. So you can make a platform move. I wonder how that's going to work. That sounds like interactive object stuff to me. I have no idea. Maybe? Like you can make sliding doors or something?
That'd be interesting. It's going to be really interesting, actually.
So, anyway, there's a couple other things on here. There is tools. I already said that one. Cleaner, smoother. I said that one, too. Mirrored versions of objects. I think that's where you're going to be able to... because they said that you could actually make objects into a group and then duplicate that group, right?
Yes. Believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so you can actually set a bunch of different objects to a group, and you can duplicate that group, and then you can make a mirror of that group. So if you have like one side of a base that you've created out of custom blocks, you can duplicate it and then flip it. So that's something that a lot of forgers have been wanting, where you could group objects together and then just kind of copy paste.
Didn't Pete the Duck say something about that on the podcast?
On his little Forge wish list, I believe he did.
Yeah. So, awesome stuff.
There is also additional natural and terrain structure pieces. So I think they've really expanded on the library of pieces that they're going to have for that, which is good.
Stalactites.
Maybe stalagmites as well.
Ooh.
Nah, you didn't think about that one, did you?
Don't scare me. No, that's scary, though. Just the name.
Stalagmites?
Yes.
Because they might reach the ceiling.
Bugs. Giant bugs.
You say
giant
bugs?
Bugs? Bugs? What?
That's what I think of.
I could see the mites part of a bug, but stalagmite? No.
You're, I don't know. You're weird.
Giant
Moving bug. On. Moving on. We talked about the skybox only maps, structure palettes in the multiplayer maps, MP maps. I'm not okay.
So is that why they abbreviate it?
I don't know. Anyways, more about that. And we're actually going to have the CA guys on in probably 2 or 3 weeks. I talked to Max and they're kind of nose to the ground until like the last week in September. So we'll have them on after that. They have simple scripting objects. I think that's something along the lines of having switches in there. I believe they kind of briefly touched on that. It's been a while since I watched the panel too, so they probably talked about some of the stuff which I'm forgetting here. So if someone remembers something, please tell me. The Forge budget as straight object count, so you no longer have this system where you have like 1,000 credits in order to build something. You actually have just a set number of pieces of everything that you can use. So there's no more budget. No more budget.
I know a lot of people were asking for that too. They didn't like the budget on there. I mean, you had so much you could do with one thing. Like it was, I don't really know. I didn't particularly like the budget thing. I'm glad that they went with just the object count this time around.
As a forger, did that object count? I'm not a forger, so I respect that art, but did that item count seem reasonable?
The item count itself, for the most part,
was 600 or something like that?
No, the budget count was based on what certain types of objects you were putting in the map. So
I'm talking with the anniversary where now they have the item count. Did they show anything on that? I feel like they did. I don't know. Maybe I'm just goofing,
they just talked about it. Where it's, you don't have actual budget anymore.
Is there like an item amount that as a forger you'd be like, well, this is a good number, this is a bad number?
I don't know.
I don't think in terms of how many of a certain item that you can place, no. Because the thing that you would rarely get into a place, unless you're a super heavy forger that is making a skybox map, where you would run out of items. If you were forging off of a base map or something, you would almost never run out of one particular kind of item to be forged. It was more or less, if you were kind of forging a lot of stuff on there, you would run out of a budget for a map before being able to kind of fill up it with everything that you want, and you would have to kind of pick and choose what you would put on a map. So now that there's no forge budget, you're just given a certain number of items for that map, and you can place as many of those on the map that you can have in terms of the forge count. So that is a lot better than the forge budget, just because the Xbox One can have that power to have that much stuff on there. And that was one of the things with the 360 is why they had the budget, because they didn't want to overload the graphics and cause a slowdown in the frame rate for the game.
Which we've seen before on modded maps, which
Reach and Sanctuary.
Yeah. One thing I will say is, because I talk to Duquesne on a regular basis, and he's really excited for racers, like people that make race maps that want to make the race map look pretty, I guess, with aesthetics and stuff like that, that's going to be better for them. That's just one thing. Like if you see roller coaster maps, they're very plain. You don't see any type of like trees or lights or anything like that. It's just this strict ramps and everything else. So the racers are excited for that, for more aesthetically pleasing maps to look at.
That'll be good. Another thing they have in here is a performance meter, which I'm not exactly sure what that is either.
I was thinking the Mega Man cannon for performance. I don't know.
I'm not sure. We will get certain affinity to explain in detail when we get them on the show. So we'll just leave it at that. That's for most of the Forge stuff that we got to see. I know they probably talked about a few more details, and I just don't remember because it's been 2 weeks since they talked about it. And being sick, of course, is not very helpful to remembering all that stuff.
No.
But
yeah, no.
There's still more Halo stuff to be coming up, hopefully with the GameStop Expo. Maybe we'll see something. I don't know if something's going to come out of that. And TGS, hopefully we'll see something out of that. I don't know if they're going to touch more on Nightfall instead of focusing on the multiplayer stuff for the game. But I think if there's any place to reveal the last map, any big gaming convention left, I think it's going to be TGS.
Well, they hinted at another tournament, didn't they?
Did they?
I think so. I remember reading something on Twitter saying that someone saying we may see one more.
Oh, I don't remember hearing that.
I remember seeing something. I don't know if it was from like a community member or if it was from, I don't remember exactly. I just remember seeing something that they may have one more.
It's possible. I wouldn't think that it's completely out of the realm of not going to happen. It's a matter of when and where they would do it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else between TGS and the release that they could do with it?
I'm trying to find that right now, actually.
Yeah, I don't know.
To my best recollection, I don't think there's... Well, there is New York Comic Con that is...
Is that big enough?
That's the question. It might be, but it might not be.
I don't know. I mean, you've been there before, right, Duststorm?
Yeah.
You've been in New York.
And that was right before the release of Halo 4.
There's PAX Australia, but that's...
No, that was during the summer, dude.
They're saying October 31st through November 12th.
That's not PAX Oz. PAX Oz is in the middle of the summer.
I'm just going off Games Radar. Blame them. They're giving me bad info.
No, the spring one is PAX East, the summer one is PAX Oz, the fall one is PAX Prime, and then the winter one is now going to be PAX South.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's Tokyo Game Show then.
Well, could we see something at PAX South?
It's going to be after the game comes out.
Oh.
PAX South is in January.
Oh. All right, never mind then.
It'd be a good way for Microsoft to make a bang in Tokyo, because I know the Xbox One sales haven't been... well received over there again.
No. No.
Maybe. It's possible. New York Comic Con is maybe a possibility. I actually tried to get tickets to go there, but all the weekend ones are gone by the time I decide to look.
Right.
So I won't be going to New York Comic Con this year.
You've been to a lot of conventions, though, this year.
Yeah, I'm done, thankfully. PAX Prime Collector was my last one.
Collector thinks New York Comic Con might be bigger than San Diego this year in attendee numbers.
Really?
That's what he's saying. Ooh, the Madison Square Theater would be awesome.
Oh, I didn't know you got a press pass. Oh, man, I might... Oh, dang it. now we want to go. Aw.
So when actually...
I may have to talk to him
when
later.
When it is...
it's the middle of October. It's...
Never mind.
I think,
that's out of my deal.
I think it's... I want to say it starts the 16th of October, and it goes through to the 19th, I think.
That might be too late to show off the last map, maybe. Or it could be a great last-minute height builder if it was that good of a map.
Well, they were showing off Halo 4 during New York Comic Con in 2012, so I don't think it's really outside the realm of impossible to do it.
They should show Halo 5 beta footage at New York Comic Con, show the last map for collection at Tokyo Game Show. They should hire me. I got great ideas.
Well, you live close to them, so you could practically go visit them.
Ring the doorbell. Just be like, "Hey, I got new. Or I got ideas."
Don't hit me with your hammer, please.
I got the hookups, yo. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. It's possible.
Now that you said about the Halo 5 bit, when are we going to see some more on that, you think? You think that's just going to be
after?
Now that my mind's thinking about it, I think New York could be a great way to do it. Because then more people are going to be like, oh, I have to get this collection. I have to get an Xbox One. Bam, right leading into the holidays.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like perfect.
That is true. Oh, the possibilities.
It's a big stage, though. That's what they need, is they need a stage to do it on. They can't just, I mean, yes, YouTube would blow up if they posted on there or anything like that, but you get the New York City Comic Con, everybody's talking about it there, all over the internet. It's just a big stage. People are focused on that event already. It's a good way to go about it.
Yeah, it's true. We're just going to have to wait to see.
Yep.
Yeah.
Start talking to people there, Bio.
All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Lots of cool stuff coming down the pipeline for Halo 2 Anniversary and the Master Chief Collection. Not sure what we're going to talk about next week. We may do something with the Dark Horse comics because I've actually read through the 9 that are out right now. So,
yay.
May do that next week. We also got to meet up with Masters Leet, who is one of the guys behind the CMT SPV3 effort, which is redoing the campaign for a Halo Custom Edition. And this is their third version. So we actually got to talk to him and play through quite a bit of...
That was so fun.
Yeah, it was. We got to play a lot of that during the weekend. So we're going to have him on here either next week or the week after to kind of talk about the project and have him kind of give us the lowdown of what's going on with that, what some of the new stuff they're incorporating into this version of the campaign, because they've added some pretty interesting stuff to Halo in this version. So that's coming down the pipeline. And of course, November 11th, 2 months away. Can't wait for it. Going to be great. So everyone, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for everyone who joins us on the live stream. We are doing this on Thursday nights for those who are downloading us through iTunes or Zune. And you can also find us over on podtaggler.com. And while you're there, go sign up on the forums. We have a community that's growing. We have game nights that we participate in on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And we had some pretty good ones over this last week. especially with Bio's plasma grenades of hell.
Hey, I didn't bring it up on the podcast. You're the one that said something.
I know. Anyways, there's also the podcast network, so make sure you guys check that out. It is thepodcast.com or podcast for short. And it is a bunch of gaming-specific podcasts, which includes podcasts like Guardian Radio, which is the Destiny podcast, which actually came out earlier this week. Critcast, which is a Team Fortress 2 podcast. Reachcast, which is a PlanetSide 2 podcast. And Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. So make sure you go and check out the network and our sister podcasts. Really good stuff over there for you guys. And check us out on our YouTube, Twitter, and all of our social media networks. I think we have a Facebook and Instagram as well. And make sure you guys definitely check out the game nights. We're looking to really boost those up whenever the Master Chief Collection comes out. But we have a pretty good group of people show up every week. And for the Tactical Tuesdays, which is Tuesdays at 8:30, we're running between different games. And then on Wacky Wednesdays, we've been just sticking to Halo 4 for now. But we're looking to incorporate Halo 3 and Halo Reach in there when we get some custom game types going. And if you're a PC Halo player, we're going to have a Halo PC servers kind of come up within the next 2 or 3 weeks or so. Make sure you guys check those out, because it's going to be good. Thank you guys.
Get those last achievements on there.
Oh my gosh. I need to really dive in and get some achievements. Hopefully we can have a Halo Wars night.
Oh yes. I need that badly.
I need to buy Halo Wars again then.
Buy it again?
I had it. It's a long story. I had it, and then my friend wanted to borrow it, and then like it just disappeared, and then it recently got found, and then no one knows whose it is, and it's a long story.
Okay. Anyways, that has been it for tonight's episode of Podtacular. Please make sure you come back next week when we have some more goodies to talk about. That'll wrap it up for us tonight. Keep on fragging lockdown. Keep on sticking lockdown.
Yeah, keep sticking lockdown.